Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 275, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. They could put any numbers in there. The numbers don't matter to me. Like, they don't mean anything to me anymore. But I guess 275, episode 5. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into American shared consciousness, and it is Friday, February 17th, 2023. Happy February 17th.
It's a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous day.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Working Zeit 2-5. What a way to make a living. Barely fit these thighs in these pants that I've been given. They're so milky white. Ain't got no melanin in them. They're enough to blind you. Shine right through my denim. That is courtesy of the Blake Rogers on the Discord. Appreciate you. Appreciate the... Thank you. No, that's demanded. I've actually... Nobody has done that before, and yet it's the only appropriate response
to
make it. It's the work
that people put into making those AKAs, and I gotta say, I'm like impressed with your fan base's ability to do it for you, because I have to like, every time I go on this podcast, I'm like, oh God, I have to think of a parody song. I do that
full Weird Al
for everything else. Well, yeah, it's too hard.
Many weirds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he also did like a whole first verse to it, but I didn't feel up to it. But I appreciate you, the Blake Rogers. Maybe we'll release the LP version of this, the long unedited director's cut of this episode. But thank you. Thank you, the Blake Rogers. I'm thrilled to be joined today by today's guest co-host. You know him from Pod Yourself a Gun, Pod Yourself the Wire. It's Matt Lee!
Hey, here comes Matt Lee. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes Matt Lee. And I say, it's all
white.
What's up? I think that was a Carver drop from The Wire. What's up, guys? I'm here.
There you go.
Got my soundboard.
Thrilled to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
You have your soundboard. That's great. We need soundboards in this
world. I feel like, let's be real, if we're being honest about what this show is, is it not a morning zoo type show?
Oh, the morning of zoos.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, people listen to this on their drive over to wherever the nearest Zoom cafe is to telecommute to their jobs, you know?
That's right.
I assume that your listeners have jobs.
Yeah. I think most of them do.
I mean, their number one job being a fan.
And writing parody
songs. Writing parody songs of your name for the AKA. Yeah, it's a great job. pays well in content.
That's right. Matt, we're thrilled to be joined. It's a true dad cast today. We're joined in our third seat by a hilarious and talented comedian, podcast host. You've seen him doing stand-up on stages, something called TV, which I'm told is short for television.
Yes.
You've heard him on podcasts like the truly hilarious Get Rich Knicks. He is apparently one of the foremost experts on guessing who will win at the Oscars.
Wow.
The like sharp when it comes to Oscar pools. Please welcome the brilliant, the talented Nick Turner.
Thank you very much. I don't want to be known as a dad, okay? I want to be known as the best dad.
Number one.
Now, here's the thing. I have a parody song I actually found on the street walking to my house today.
Found on the street?
Wow. Like a piece of paper that flew near your person?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. But apparently this piece of paper thought Miles would be here. So I'm going to do a quick edit. And okay, I edited it.
Hey, so did everybody who showed up to listen.
Guys, I mean, what a lovely surprise for all of us. Here's the song. And I would talk to 500 Matt Liebs, and I would talk to 500 more just to be the man who talked to 1,000 Matt Liebs. He's the guy that I adore. Hey. And a Jack Jack, and a Jack and a Jack Jack, and a Jack Jack, and a Jack Jack, Jack Jack, Matt Lieb.
Hey, very good.
Wow, that was great.
There it is.
Okay, well deserved. Thank you. I spent a lot of time on that.
That was awesome.
You found
a lot of time finding
it. It took a while for you. I mean, you were looking for a parody song on the street. Let's be honest. There's a little work went into it.
Not a lot of people looking down.
No.
Angels in America says, look up. I say, look down. Look at your shoes. What are they doing? That's great. Nick, is it true? I mean, you do have big Oscars behind you in the Zoom.
Yeah.
You are an expert in who wins. You're a Oscar pool sharp. Is that correct?
Sharp,
sharp. I think is the term in Vegas for like the people who are like ahead of the game and like use analytics and figure.
I thought you were accidentally
smarter than the house.
I thought you were doing a malapropism. You meant shark, like pool shark or card shark.
No, I've heard sharp just on like sports podcasts talking.
Okay,
about,
I like that.
The smart people in Vegas.
Look, I'm a sharp. I'm a shark. I frequently sharp.
Shark.
And they're all true about me.
That's impressive.
Look, yes, yeah. I have the goods. I think there's a lot of people in this space, and it's like a lot of betting prognosticators. You know, sports usually they never talk about their predictions afterwards.
Right.
Because, you know,
it's embarrassing.
If you look at like the number of the ones they get right, you know, from even like the most famous sports bettors, like it's about 53%.
Right.
For like if you're doing great. But I have much higher odds in my bettings. And it's not just about on the day. Anyone can get them right on Oscar day.
Right,
because
you're picking them before they even announce.
Yeah, because you've had the benefit
are coming out that year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I have $1,700 on Avatar 4 in 2028 to lose. So you got to get them early. We started. It's a podcast called "The Show Me the Money" that I do with Pat Stango. One half of the BO Boys podcast, where they look over box office every week.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've known each other through comedy for a long time, but we've together started a summer movie box office league together. Nice. And we participate in a very big Oscars pool each year, which I'm the only person to have won multiple times.
Wow.
And that sounds like it's the Oscar pool to compete. Like that's the top of the line. It's not just like your work friend's Oscar pool. That sounds like it is informed.
Yeah, it's like experts. Are you guys members of the Academy? Like, how much of is there like a conflict of interest here?
We're members of the Betting Academy.
Oh, okay.
Right.
It's a ragtag group, but there's less controversy, and we don't hurt each other.
Oh,
no slaps there.
So, oh, that's nice.
Gambling famously violence averse. There's never been any violence in
not anymore. So. I mean, it was when there was OTBs, but now everyone's in their own home. Right. So it's just they punch a wall.
Yeah.
That's right.
So some of my big bets that have come to fruition, I had the Daniels at plus 900 to win Best Director. They are now currently in the lead. Wow. That's a 9 times your bet. Plus, well, that's what plus 900 means.
Mm, wow. Okay.
And if I had Everything Everywhere All at Once for plus 700 to win
coming
Best
into
Picture.
The whole award season. Like, what, did you just place that bet right after you saw it?
December, January
wow.
bets that I've made. And I've got a bunch of plus 700 for Wakanda Forever's Angela Bassett, who is now in the super first place for Best Supporting Actress.
Wow.
I didn't realize that.
I was the only prognosticator, as far as I know, on any podcast to think Andrea Riseborough was going to get a nomination for Best Actress. I don't know if you're familiar with the controversy.
Is this the one where she... she got nominated and then people were like, I heard that she had people like vying for her and everyone got mad because she wasn't famous enough to have people vying for her.
Were you, Nick, one of the dozen people who saw the movie and that's where your confidence came from?
No, and this is a big part of our podcast. It's not about watching the movies.
Oh, good.
You don't need to watch the movies.
People I love
who
that.
Get caught up watching all the movies, they lose sight of the big picture.
Yeah, which is the awards.
Which is the awards.
Yeah,
100%
agree.
100% agree. You know, it's looking at trends. It's looking at past award shows, looking at which ones predict the Oscars the best.
Yeah.
And a big, big, big one is this weekend at the BAFTAs. And in terms of betting, if you watch an award show and then watch somebody win, you'll see it before the lines change on whatever betting site. And so
The
BAFTAs are such a good predictor. And so if you just watch the BAFTAs and then like whoever wins, pick that person, that line is going to change the next day and you're here.
Wow,
look at you.
Yeah.
That's like, what are those, the Flash Boys, the like Wall Street traders who were making money by having a faster
ticker?
Like essentially they had a faster ticker. They even invested in having like, this was in some Michael Lewis book, They invested in having the Ethernet or you know the internet what's it called the one with the is like fiber optic fiber optic cables like going from like where information was it they like made sure the line was straight so that like the fiber optics didn't have to like go around any curves which
Damn.
Would slow it down like microscopic fractions of a second and that's they were making a lot of money that way so. That's kind of like what you're doing by watching the BAFTAs, which is actually like that's a level of commitment that nobody has gone to. Like,
yeah. Loving award shows so much that you watch the BAFTAs is like you're in it for the love of the game.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
someone
I'm actually
who truly
got a
loves.
Show in Boulder, Colorado on Sunday, so I won't be watching it for sure.
Right. Just have to write some code.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, I don't have. You already know who's going to win. That's the thing.
I already know that is the thing. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Best Picture, by the way, in terms of BAFTA and Oscars, almost no crossover in the last decade.
Interesting.
One movie. So
I've been saying since it was a massive hit that I thought Everything Everywhere All at Once was going to win. I'm an amateur BO boy myself and Oscar predator. I'm usually pretty good at the Oscar poll stuff, so.
I'm terrible at it, but only because I never know what movies come out, and I see movies years later.
Right.
So I go like, well, did Old Brother or Art Thou, is that going to win this year? And people are like, no, that was from a long time ago. I'm like, well, then I'm fucked. I don't know.
last year, our big prediction was Coda months early and Troy Kotsur early.
What did win? I forgot.
Coda.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Coda won Best Picture?
It was a late surge, yeah.
I didn't even see it. Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's cute. It's a family movie. It's it hits all the right, you know, marks. But you know, I wouldn't say it's my favorite movie of all time, but I certainly thought, you know, whatever. I rode that horse all the way to the end.
Do you have like $10,000, so I'm good.
And you were saying, so like you don't have to watch the movies to like you don't have to make yourself like Green Book.
Well, it's not about quality.
Yeah, that's, it's not right. quality. It's just narrative.
And, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, it could be anything. But one thing that makes betting on these incredibly difficult and why it's almost impossible to win $10,000 is because these lines are not available on American regulated sports books.
Yeah, I feel like it's always in England.
Like DraftKings will not be there. It's only offshore betting sites like your Bovadas, your BetUSs, your Every Games. These are where we're going.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so they don't have like super high maxes. The highest they go is you can bet like a couple hundred dollars on stuff. But like I maxed out Andrea Riseborough to win Best Actress at plus 3,700.
Whoa.
So I stand to make a good amount if this con rides all the way to the end.
I hope for your sake and for your children's sake that it does.
Yeah, I do too. Now I have a horse in that. All right, Nick, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about how the FBI will investigate the Harris County Jail, just the realities inside that jail. There's a quote in the article from one of the lawyers who's going to be, I guess, or who's involved in the investigation about how, like, you wouldn't believe it unless you, like, had the evidence in front of you. And it just feels like that sentiment is something we're hearing more and more of, is like, this doesn't happen here. You can't believe that this is happening here. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about there's an I Am Legend sequel coming.
Oh.
And they are making the sequel to the original ending, not the ending that we all saw in movie theaters, but the ending to the movie that was the ending to the book, that is like the whole point of the movie, that they then changed because it didn't test well. So we'll talk about that. They changed it from like the whole
all I remember is there's some zombie dogs in that movie. And
are there zombie dogs in that?
There was definitely a zombie dog. I'm like,
oh, his dog, right?
Yeah. And then back. Doesn't he die at the end?
Well, yeah, but what? Not in the ending that they're making the sequel to, I'll tell you that damn much.
What?
So anyway, I just wanted to bring this up because it's an early, you know, tip for Nick for the Oscar betting poll for 2 years.
Yeah, for sure. All my money's going into this.
All of that. Plenty more. But first, Nick, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Well, all my search history I was looking up is mostly gambling related.
Sure. Fair.
And so it was actually top 24 users, Gold Derby, BAFTAs, because if you want one single place to go to get the good info, Gold Derby, they have four categories of prognosticators, and All-Star, Top 24, Top 24 of the Year, Critics, and
Groundhog.
And some other.
Yes. He sees a shadow, then Everything Everywhere All at Once wins.
Yes. Yeah. Andrea Riseborough's PR team pops up out of a hole. And if they are kicked out by the Academy, then it's another 24 months. Okay. So. So anyway,
so you have to you have to like filter through the 24 who are.
Critics and experts don't know anything. And this is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. This is not about knowing your shit. This is about gambling. Right. And the people who are the most in tune are the people who are this year's number one or top 24 users. It's every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's how I got Anthony Hopkins over Chadwick Boseman 2 years ago when everybody thought Chadwick Boseman was getting the award
posthumous
for
Oscar,
died.
Yeah. Yes.
You want some money on that?
Oh yeah, I went big on that. Yeah, and that's how I won the whole pool.
Did you win money on Green Book too?
I did not.
Okay,
I did win
you
one
got
year.
All the problematic faves.
One year, I did win the big pot when La La Land won.
And then lost.
Then I did not.
The pot was then taken from you.
Yeah, Lyra and I, my wife, we were watching and we were looking up the menu for this really expensive restaurant that we've always wanted to go to. And we were like, this is how we're spending the money. And we were like, I'm going to get this and I'm going to get this. And then we did it. And we never went to that restaurant.
Warren Beatty was like, lol, psych. Fuck you,
that's
Nick.
That's amazing. Yeah, I do some of that So I do go to Gold Derby just throughout the year. I like to see like what they're saying is going to hit even before I've seen the movies. But I also do that with that sort of thing with like fantasy sports sometimes. Is like you are sorting through this like massive list of quote unquote experts. And you just like find one person who's really smart about it, you know, and it's, are you on, can somebody go see the Nick Turner picks on Gold Derby? Are you a user?
That's a great
proprietary
idea.
Proprietary information.
I have filled it out for Oscars, but I do not go there. And I guess it's not something I'm willing to do.
Yeah, good. I was just curious.
It's not what it's about. Also, it's like, it's about like what picks are this week? What are the best picks this week?
Yeah.
And so, you know, Gold Derby's not really for me to give. It's for me to take.
That's right.
Damn right.
Yeah.
It's a feeder.
Yeah.
That's a Nick Turner feeder, not a Nick Turner giver. What is something you think is overrated?
Thank you for asking, Jack.
Hey, Nick, what's something you think is overrated?
Now, this question is out of left field, but I think I have an answer. Chubby Checker.
Oh. Chubby Checker is overrated.
That is a hot take that I think is correct.
Okay. Now, it might not be the most timely take, but the best takes rarely are.
Well, I just heard of him.
I'm tired of these damn kids telling me about Chubby Checker, man. Shut the fuck up.
Forever teenager.
We need to talk about Chubby Checker.
If you see, he's probably 90, but if you see him, he has an impeccable hairline and haircut.
Does he?
It is.
Still here.
You're still alive.
A team. The same team that did makeup and hair on the Whale.
Fair.
So Chubby Checker, we all love him. He's the twist guy. He brought twisting into our lives.
I'm looking at a picture of him in 2005. He looks amazing.
Yeah, he looks amazing.
Chubby.
Wait, was he like 12 when he was famous? Because he's only 81 now.
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
But I feel like he was maybe a person who like looked older when he was younger, because he was born in 41. Wasn't he famous in like the early 60s?
So in 1960 is when his big song came out.
So he was 19. He looked like a middle-aged, I guess everyone looked like a middle-aged person back then. That was his style.
They were all drinking lead.
Also, he's probably, you know, the heft helps, and he's very tall.
It's crazy that he's still chubby.
Yeah, well, you can't lose your, I mean, you know, at this point, if he comes out skinny, who's going to see that concert?
No one wants to fuck with skinny checkers.
Yeah, well, skinny chess? No thanks.
Yeah.
Skinny chess.
So, okay, everybody thinks they love the twist. It's a dance that, you know, you anyone can do, because it's literally moving right to left.
Yeah.
Almost not a dance. Right. So in 1960, Chubby Checker at 19 releases Let's Do the Twist. Mm-hmm. And it's number one hit. It does great. He's a genius.
Mm-hmm.
So then in 1961, the label comes back and they say, Chubby, you did it and you got to do it again. Okay, what? You got to give us something else.
Yeah.
So then Chubby's like, you know what, guys? I'm not full of ideas. I'm going to be honest.
I can't think of another chance.
So in 1961, he's like, I got it. I figured it out. He releases Let's Twist Again.
Like we did last summer.
Which, incredible move to reference a previous song in a song.
Yeah, and a song that has staying power. Like, people still play Twist Again. Like, I've heard that song all these years later.
No, another hit. So he's a genius, okay? So then 60, 61, those are his years. 1962, label comes back. They say, Chubby! You did it, Twist Man. You know, he's got a new nickname at this point. And they're like, you're the Twist Guy. And he's like, I know I'm the Twist Guy. Let's fucking hit it.
Everybody get in the basement because the Twister's coming. That's what I would have said to him.
For sure.
When he was coming into my office as an A&R executive back then.
Go ahead. Yes. Yeah. 1962, he thinks, let's do it. He releases Twistin' USA.
That's right.
Which I assume he thought there was going to be a twist in for every country. But this song was not a hit.
No.
And so I think at that point, he starts to lose it a little bit. And a couple months later, he comes out with Slow Twistin' and La Paloma Twist, which are sexy twist songs.
Yeah.
Because the twist is not sexy. You're bound to knee your partner in the groin.
Yeah.
So he got some slow versions, not hits. And then let's say summer of 1962, he's at the end of his rope and he's lost his mind. He doesn't even know why he got into the twist game, and he releases "Teach Me to Twist." Which, you know, he's lost his mind. We're like, Chubby, you taught us to twist.
I forgot to twist.
It's like maybe some set, yeah.
You know, the way to really, like, learn something is by teaching it. So maybe he's mm-hmm. just like, you guys have clearly lost your love and yeah. passion for the twist. How about this? I'm going to play a fucking mind game with you. Yeah. You teach me to twist. What if we tried that? But just, yeah, sheer desperation, like a yeah. panic idea. Like an idea.
It's like a sad, like, panic. Attempt to get, you know, like, people talking, you know.
Right.
Just to get some engagement. Like,
sounds like a degenerative neurological disorder where he's slowly like, teach me to twist. And then it's just like, where are car keys? And it just keeps going down.
So, oof. Not a hit, folks. So then that same year in 1962, he pivots and he thinks, maybe I'm just
like, I'm like he twist was guy. Twisting. He
yes.
Pivots.
Yes. Yeah.
He twists. Thinking about shouting now.
Yeah. He says, maybe I'm the dance guy for dances that aren't really dances. And he releases Limbo Rock.
Oh. That was a dance. Chubby Checkers.
But I'll tell you what the song was. A fucking hit.
Yeah, a huge hit.
He's back. So then in 1963, you got to do it again. He comes back with Let's Limbo Some More.
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yes.
This rule.
This is this psychopath's journey. I mean, he's only 23. Imagine. It's a sad story.
He's a child.
So then, not a hit. And then he's like, you know, he's starting to rethink everything. And he's like, maybe I am the twist guy. And then also in 1963, he releases Twisted Up. Back to Twisted. Not a hit. 1964, nothing. He doesn't release anything. He goes insane. He gets an Airbnb in Big Bear. He takes a gun and a dog and he wastes a year just thinking there's got to be something else. And then in 1965, bam, he's back. With Let's Do the Freddy.
Oh.
The Freddy.
Yeah, that's a left turn you didn't expect. Where'd that song come from? His name's Chubby. Well, right. Freddy and the Dreamers released the song that same year. And so he was just listening to the radio and he was like, they're doing a dance song. Chubby's the dance guy. Wait, not releasing the song.
Did he steal their dance?
He stole it. Also, the dance is basically lifting your arms above your head and sticking out one leg. It's the Daniel song.
Oh, okay.
That's all. It's a dumb fucking dance. Why couldn't he be like, put your arms to the side. It's the Chubby. Just say your name. Anyway, not a hit. He's gone. He's done. That's it. That's the Chubby Checker everybody loves so much.
You're right.
He apparently appeared in a film called Don't Knock the Twist in 1962.
Nobody's
he's
knocking
like, you better watch
anybody.
Your fucking mouth about the twist, bro.
Jesus Christ.
Imagine if he had like a TikTok and he's just like comes out every week with like, why are people ruining my twist?
A New York Times op-ed in defense of the twist.
Yeah. Wow.
Dude, that is, he's, you're
what
right.
What a journey
he's...
you just took us on.
Yeah. So, overrated.
I don't know if he's overrated. I don't know if that's what I took from that. But wow, what a run. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and find out what you think is underrated. Holy shit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And man, what a Wikipedia page on Chubby Checkers.
Yeah, Chubby there were Checker. Some other songs, but none of them were dance related.
It is a singular checker. It's not the game Checkers. It's not Chubby Checkers.
Oh, it's Chubby Checker.
Yeah. I said Chubby Checkers.
I thought it was Chubby Checkers this whole time.
My dad, who famously on this show, famous, maybe not famous at all, refers to Brad Pitt as Brad Pitts.
Yeah. Well, that's close enough.
Well, he's done some bad stuff.
Yeah, there we go. He's the Pits.
He's the Pits.
What is something you think is underrated, Nick?
Great question. I think expensive gardeners are underrated.
Expensive gardeners?
Yeah.
When I was on the East Coast, I dreamed of having a gardener. Mm. I didn't know. If you told me I'd have a gardener one day, I'd be like, in my gold house? You're sick. I thought gardeners mostly just like trimmed hedges into the shape of animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't
know
everyone had a gardener here.
Yeah.
So now I have a gardener and it sucks because cheap gardeners aren't good.
Right.
You can pay more to have them come at a reasonable time. You can pay more to get them to stop using gas powered everything.
Yeah.
To wake you up.
Yeah.
But most people don't have those. And I've actually asked my gardener to stop working on my half of the garden because all they do is just like blow shit around.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't weed. That's what I need them for. Right. Yeah.
That's an expensive gardener job.
Yeah.
Weeding. Yeah.
They come at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And they just mostly are focused on blowing next to my window.
Yeah, yeah. The job of the gardener is to slowly gas you to death every Tuesday at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
It is, and also it's, if you're renting, your gardener is just part of the deal.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of the times, and which is puts you in a shitty position when the gardener, let's say, randomly keeps hitting on your wife in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps offering her vodka in the morning. Listen, I'm all for, you know, drinking with a gardener, but I feel like you should be able to be like, hey,
I don't like that.
I don't like that.
I've got a lot of follow-up questions.
My wife left me for the gardener. All is that right, what you want to hear?
Yeah. I didn't want to hear it, but I wanted to.
Yeah, I had a feeling. All right. Well, Expensive Gardeners, the sequel to The Constant Gardener. I think that might be the worst movie title of all time.
Oh, it's awful.
Could you imagine a constant gardener?
A constant gardener.
It just sounds... It was like... It's that and a very long engagement are my two worst movie titles, because that's too... I don't want to
sound
see,
like they sound random long. Words put together.
They sound so long. They sound again, way too long and boring.
It sounds like a Chubby Checker like thing that is coming up with on the spot, like the in a panic.
The constant twister.
The constant twist. So we did twist again, but let's twist again presumes is that there was they stopped twisting and started mm-hmm. again. What if they were constantly twisting?
Forever.
What if it was a constant twist?
Let's twist forever.
Yes. Let's twist constantly and forever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the FBI is going to investigate Harris County Jail. This is something that families of victims have been asking for because 32 detainees have died in the jail within a 14-month period.
Oof.
It's monstrous. It's unbelievable. It's like hard to fathom that this is happening, was happening. People were like, this is happening. And then it kept happening. One of the more recent victims, Jacoby Pillow, died from compression asphyxia from being restrained, similar to George Floyd. Ugh. And there's this quote. So the FBI is opening the investigation because the sheriff was finally like, hey, like, yeah, this is not good. Like, and the sheriff finally asked the FBI, was like, we need to get to the bottom of this. But there's this, like, one of the attorneys, Ben Crump and Paul Grinke, made a statement, you know, while requesting the Department of Justice open an investigation, said, it's appalling that you could have 32 detainees die in the Harris County Jail in a 14-month period. I mean, nobody would really believe it unless you have these bodies that showed you it was really happening. And I feel like I keep running into this sentiment. Where yeah. it's, you know, like the bleakness of, like, Florida schools have banned all books and are selectively, like we talked about this on yesterday's episode, they have selected 350 books total that are okay for the entire K-12 public Jesus. School system in one of their places. So, like, but you kind of, like, you hear that and you're like, but that can't be true, right? And so, like, I needed to actually see somebody on Twitter whose name is like Brian, Jags fan Brian, just taking a video of his kid's school library with all the shelves being completely empty for me to be like, oh, it's really the end. This yeah. is like, it's really the dystopia. The Ohio train derailment. Like, again, like people. Right. Or just like, this is just, there's like American Chernobyl in the middle of the country and the mainstream media is completely ignoring it and letting Pete Buttigieg, whose like department it is, who's like the only person who's supposed to be able to keep, you know, actually punish these people.
Yeah.
Like, is going on the Sunday shows and answering questions about the State of the Union? Like that.
The worst thing about it is the, well, not maybe not the worst thing about it, but one of the most insane things about that is the amount of, like, Pete defenders there are out there.
Yeah, they think we're all mad about the Iowa caucuses.
Right. For some reason. yeah, they think we're still mad about Iowa.
I don't give a fuck about Iowa.
No, I'm still mad about it. That's true. But no,
I'm mad about South Carolina, but that's a different story.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm mad about a lot of things, but... Yeah, with the Pete stuff, the new line of the Pete defender is actually there's like there's usually about on average 1,000 train derailments a year. So
we're good here.
So we're good, and I'm just like, you understand how insane that sounds, right?
Right.
Like the idea that like, oh no, it's okay. As Department of Transportation head, he should continue the status quo of trains derailing and causing many Chernobyls around the world. That's fine.
Right. There's in our Discord, Veruca Assault in the Discord shared this Medium post that they were like, this, I keep thinking of this post by Indrajit Samarajiva or Samarajiva. Mm-hmm. Indrajit Samarajiva, who lived through the Sri Lankan collapse and said that this sort of dissonance is what it feels like to live through a society that is crumbling. Yeah. And it's really like, it's an interesting Medium post. We'll link off to the Medium post in the footnotes, but
footnotes.
There we go. That's
it's a little early, but I had to do it.
Like the author like posts like pictures from their, you know, photo roll at the time. And it's like a game of Scrabble they're playing, and then like a burning body left out in front of their workplace. And then like, you know, a live show that they went to, and then like a mall that got bombed that they were just like driving past. And they're just like, they're like, you don't, there's not this moment where suddenly the news is like, okay, things are officially bad. There's no launch party for decay, is a direct quote. It's just a pileup of outrages and atrocities in between friendships and weddings, and perhaps an unusual amount of alcohol. Perhaps you're waiting for some moment when the adrenaline kicks in and you're fighting the virus or fascism all the time, but it's not like that. Life is not a movie, and if it were, you're certainly not the star. You're just an extra. If something good or bad happens to you, it'll be random and no one will care.
That's actually how I've always viewed myself.
Yeah.
Like, you ever seen War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
There's a scene where like the aliens show up and they're just like dissolving people into ash, and he's like running through like ash piles and stuff.
Yeah.
I've always looked at myself as like, yeah, I'd be the ash.
Yeah, I'm the ash that like he wipes off.
Yeah, that he just wipes off.
Hey, still in the movies.
I'm still in the movie. Yeah, it's
my,
a role.
My parents would be so proud.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know. People keep having this. And my brain keeps having this where it's like, you almost like can't believe how bad it's gotten overnight. Like we don't have the level of oversight and consequence and accountability that we had under George W. Bush when like Katrina happened and like that Brownie got fired. Like instead of that, we've just got people just like not even being asked questions on the fucking, on like Meet the Press or whatever.
Yeah. It's just everything's, you know, like it's a consequence of a lot of things that include shit that was going on during George W. Bush's time. So it's like, you know,
for sure.
It's all led up to this moment.
Accumulation, for sure. Accumulation, for sure. It used to be good and bad. It's just like the accumulation has gotten to a point where everything is like so many things are falling apart, and people are just kind of like, I don't know.
Everyone's dug in on their, like, you know, their particular whatever, you know, content they're consuming that's telling them who the good guys are and the bad guys are. It's like everyone's dug in. So if you're told like, oh, all the bad guys hate Pete Buttigieg, so you have to love Pete Buttigieg in order to, you know, fight the bad guys. And it's just like, or you could just like, you know, you could live with an actual opinion on things that doesn't have anything to do with your particular content choices. I don't know. It's all insane.
Yeah. There's too much of a this side or that side to it all. But, and I definitely used to be like more guilty of that. Like just being like, well, Democrats are better than Republicans, so like stop saying things that are damaging to Democrats. But like, I don't know. Yeah. As things have gotten worse and more just evident, it feels like there is, I don't know how sophisticated it is, but it definitely is kind of enveloping and just like everywhere. The like whatever the opposite of agitprop is, like Zanny prop, like what, like just whatever the propaganda is that's like, calm down, move along, this isn't out of the ordinary, train derailments happen all the time.
Yeah.
That black cloud and like chickens dying and everybody having to move out of the city is not that abnormal. Go read White Noise.
I love a move along, folks. Nothing to see here, but with like a lady painting nail emoji next to it.
Yes.
And clap signs in between. You're like, cool.
Right.
Now you're speaking my language.
Pete Buttigieg is like barely a person.
He's the most robotic human being I've ever seen.
Like, there's not a person who's like that prepared for everything while giving you absolutely nothing. He's just trying to be like the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Well, he's also the highest form of this capitalist system, which is McKinsey and the consulting arm that is like, everything can just be explained by like improving how this does in the market. And like everything is the market of free ideas, but it's not. It's all tilted in the direction of, you know, capital and whatever it's going to take to allow people to make the most money and accumulate the most property or sales or whatever the fuck, and just irrespective of human life.
You know who my favorite Democrat is?
Who?
Whoever runs against Biden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't fucking wait. The balls. They won't even be able to walk.
Yeah.
He or she's balls are going to be so big.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun too, especially watching the same Pete defenders go try to use the same arguments with Biden, because everything, you know, with Pete is just, you know, like, you just hate that he's the future of the Democratic Party and blah, blah, blah. And with Biden, it's just like, you know, they're now going to have to go back to, like, wow, ageism much? And you're like, no, motherfucker, he truly is an old, useless man.
Right.
It's, oh, God. Oh,
I hope the person who runs against him is not, like, just some even further centrist. Like, I hope it's somebody who...
That's true. That there is a chance that it'll be, just be like, this guy's a communist.
Klobuchar's ready.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Blagojevich.
Read my lips. Blagojevich. Get the pop filter in place. All right. We'll be back to talk about some bullshit in a moment.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And so there's some lighthearted news. I don't know. Dumb lighthearted bullshit, such as that Warner Brothers, I believe. Is that the... Yeah. They're like, we...
Yeah, they're a studio.
They're a studio. And they just announced that two projects coming that are very fun and very much Warner's. the sequel to I Am Legend with Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan.
Wait, hold on. But they're bringing Will. He died, though.
I know. So this is what's interesting. So the first movie, the whole point of the book that this movie is based on.
Yeah.
It's called I Am Legend, and these are spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen the alternate 2008 ending, but that is what this is a sequel to the alternate ending that they shot and then had to change because it tested so badly, because Americans are like, no, we're not bad guy.
It tested worse than Will Smith dying at the end?
Yes. Because it's called I Am Legend because it turns out in the end, he like confronts the vampires, and the vampires are like, we're just trying to get our child who you have captive and are like performing medical experiments on you, sick fuck. Like, give us that back. And then it turns out he like, there's this like voiceover where he's like, and that's when I realized I am the monster of their world. Like, I am the legend. Like, I Am Legend refers to him being a legendary,
like Dracula,
monster. He is Dracula, and they are, even though the entire film is spent with you thinking, or the entire novel, that this is like a bunch of vampires, they are the monsters. It's like, no, I am the legendary monster. I Am Legend. They shot that.
That makes so much more sense. I just realized you watch a whole movie that's just called I Rule, and you're like, yeah, he is cool.
That guy. Yeah. They shot that. They like,
it's just called This Guy Fucks. And you're like, yeah, he does.
Yeah. It turns it into like a lazy rap brag.
Yeah.
Like, it's
instead of
like the very cool point of,
yeah,
like, it, self-implication, stuff like that. So
yeah,
they cut that, turned it into him blowing himself up, but now they're like, people are ready for the original ending where he's a monster. It takes place like 20-30 years after the original alternate ending, and like presupposes that, or maybe they'll just like cram that ending onto the beginning of this movie.
I don't know why they need to fall all over themselves trying to justify
why
this movie is. That's what movie making is now. It's like, didn't that guy die? And then the response is, fuck you.
Yeah.
The movie's playing. Do you want to see it? You do? Well, then shut it and say thank you.
That's right.
Yeah, it's because it has to be attached to some sort of IP that they're like, oh, we got to make sure whatever it is canon. And it's
that's right.
But you can just make another movie and just be about whatever. And they're like, no, if we want that sweet IP, gotta get that P.
Like everything that happens in The Last of Us, there's like, you know, articles about how it relates to the video game. Yeah. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care that it was a video game. Guess what? This is a TV show.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. It does nothing has to be anything. It's a great idea. Shut up about it.
But when I do a video game, it does different things. So how am I supposed to play video games?
I did a whole thread on Twitter that started off with talking about how I was really pissed that it wasn't faithful to the, you know, to the original game. And then every point in the thread is like, he has a knife when he is supposed to be meticulously searching through drawers in order to craft a shiv. There should be at least two episodes spent on him just trying to find rolls of tape and half cut out pieces of plastic bottles.
Right.
Just because people are literally insane about the amount of like, they're fucking up my memories of a game from just a few years ago.
Right. It should be real time. It should
my
be
childhood.
Time.
Yeah.
Because I'm 14 now.
Right. Exactly.
That's right. So anyways, I don't know. I'm all for Michael B. Jordan being added to any film.
Yeah, and literally. Put him in anything.
Like, between the two options of them just being like, and we're going to stay with the thing where it's about somebody who is so cool that we had to call the movie I Am Legend. Or them being like, all right, we can admit we fucked that up, and we're going to make a sequel that unfucks it up a little bit. I'm good with this.
Especially if you're going to add Michael B. Jordan to it, because he's great. And if you really love Michael B. Jordan, you should see him in The Wire, the greatest show of all time.
Yeah. and you might have a podcast about that.
I may not have the Wire I Watch podcast. It doesn't matter. The point is, watch. There's a lot of people who haven't seen The Wire. It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Season 4, the education season.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah, I think that's the best season of television. Yeah. Although I do also really like season 2 and a lot of.
Oh, you know what else is good? Stinks. 1, 3, and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great.
I like those ones too.
5's a slow burn. It's a little five. It's a little patty on the backy.
Yeah. Definitely patty on the backy. But 5 becomes more and more genius the more times you watch it. Because
does it really? You can get past the press part of it.
Oh, once you get past the press part of it and realize, especially in the moment we're living in now, in which print media is all but dead, and you go you know, even though they are patting themselves on the back, they do have a very crucial role in society. You know, newspapers, local journalists, people who actually go to state courthouses or local city, you know, council meetings and say what's happening.
Now that I think about it, I think my complaint was that it was like the journalistic malpractice was like too blatant and silly. And now I'm like, oh, wait, no.
Yeah. Rewatch it now.
I think I just have to rewatch it.
Yeah. And be like, rewatch it now and realize that it's like, oh, no. This is pretty real.
It's funny to think about the water cooler on the Soprano or on the Wire set and how everyone around the water cooler has an English accent.
Yeah. Yeah. That it just they also, you know, let's be real, some of them still have an English accent when they're trying to do an American accent.
McNulty slips every once in a while.
Yeah. Hello, it's me, McNulty from Baltimore. Close enough. But I Am Legend. Great. You know what? Make more
for it.
More Legends.
That movie rules. I watched it, I think last year I made Lyra watch it for the first time. Because it was one of those movies where I wanted to rewatch it, but she would just, you know, you get like, I don't want to see that in your head, no matter what it is. But that's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
It's hard to make a good movie with one actor.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, it is. It's. I'm trying to remember what the plot was. I remember he's looking for a cure still. That's his
thing. Yeah, he's got like his wife, right? Like,
yeah, his wife and kid are.
Movie? I'm conflating.
I thought they flew to. Oh, no, they
blow up in a helicopter.
Helicopter. He
watches them blow up in a helicopter. He's like playing golf. You know, he's hitting balls off the end of a big
square.
Yeah, off the end of a big ship. Oh, the big thing I remember from I Am Legend is. My feelings about it were like, God damn it, I wish I was me because I would just be raiding pharmacies. This is I saw it back when I used to do a lot of drugs, but it was like, yeah, just like I would go to all the pharmacies and be like, hook it up. And just, that's how I'd live my life alone.
I feel like so much of our desire for a post-apocalyptic world. And I say desire because it is like it's fantasy wish fulfillment. Like people are like, oh, it's scary. And like, I don't want all of my loved ones to die. But like it. But I think it's all about having a walkable city, like it's just a city that you can like walk through and not be worried that a car is going to run you down. Like, there's something so beautiful about that. Like, if you just banned all cars tomorrow, the world would be. A beautiful place. It would be so fun.
For the wish fulfillment for me is just a little bit of alone time away from the nagging wife. Am I right, fellas? Fellas. Oh boy.
I mean, it is Dadcast.
So I was looking at the wiki. I think it's just a woman he has in the basement that he's trying to cure. Well, I don't know who she is, and it's a little weird that he's just got a woman in his basement, but he's the only person alive. You know what? No rules.
I thought he had a rat. He has a rat.
He's trying to save her, whatever, and he's like doing experiments.
Nick has a hard time. He has a strange dysphoria where he can't determine the difference between a human and a rat.
No, it's a human.
I should have mentioned
people, it's
too.
A human.
That explains the Pete Buttigieg comments earlier.
Hey, this fucking rat.
All right.
Well, this has been a successful Dadcast. I think
absolutely.
I think we landed in a good
place. We didn't talk about kids at all. So it's a big success.
Yeah, just getting.
Thank God. That's all I do all day is talk about fucking baby stuff.
Man. When I tell you, this is my kid's 100th day of kindergarten, and they're celebrating that.
Oh, the first 100 days, like
first 100 days, exactly. And I'm very excited. It's had me in a happy mood all day that they made it to 100.
Your wife is Korean?
Yes, my wife is Korean.
So the 100 days is a Korean thing.
There is also
they celebrate 100 days rather than years.
Yeah.
And also, everyone in the country that's born in 1 year is the exact same birthday, whatever. And everyone's a year. Although I think they're changing that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like that. We just celebrate the first year, actually, like that. Yeah. That's a big celebration. 100 days is a big deal. And then the 1 year birthday is when you know they've really made it. And that's, we're psyched.
Yeah. I've got a Korean nephew. So I'm up on the 100, 200 days.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was just a president thing.
President.
Well, we look back at the first 100 days and we see if the kid actually accomplished anything.
That's right.
Or if they need to go to a trade kindergarten.
There is like a fun thing, the first year birthday, where like you lay out different things for them to like then crawl towards. Mm. And supposedly it like determines what their career is going to be.
Really?
Very, very much it reminds me of the beginning of Liquid Swords, quote.
Isn't that how they pick the Dalai Lama?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's pretty cool. So my son is going to be either a judge or a carpenter because he crawled toward a hammer.
Black smoke or white smoke.
Yeah, exactly. Nick, truly a pleasure having you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
Where can people find you, follow you?
I'm going to be in Denver this weekend at the Denver Comedy Lounge. Nice. And in March, I'm going to be in Santa Cruz. I'm going to be in Salem, Oregon. I'm going to be in Seattle, Washington. I'm adding some San Francisco, but I've got an album to prepare for, so I'm forcing myself out at the house.
Exciting.
And it's more work than I enjoy.
Yeah,
but
it's exciting for
fun.
The rest of us, though.
The comedy is fun, yes.
Your albums are very funny.
So I'm at Nick's Turners on Twitter. I'll, have stuff up there. Also, I write a podcast called Fraudsters on the Last Podcast Network. It's a deep dive into the greatest fraudsters of our time, deeper than the other shows. That's what sets us apart. We just did 3 episodes on Lou Pearlman.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Real POS of the highest order. He had the longest running
NSYNC
Ponzi scheme in American history when it was discovered. It was discovered, I think, a year before Madoff's.
Lou Pearlman.
Is he not the manager of NSYNC and Backstreet Boys?
That's just one of his many crimes.
Oh, okay.
he had a blimp business before boy bands, and he crashed for insurance money 5 blimps.
Damn.
He's just like, we can't get these dang things right.
It's insane how long people
wait, so the helium goes inside the thing? Oh, now you tell me.
I light it on fire, then put it in there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Is there a tweet or some work of media you've been enjoying?
No.
All right. Matt, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieb or on Instagram, Matt Lieb Jokes. Also, the third Thursday of every month in Los Angeles over at the Silver Lake Independent JCC, I do a show called Michigas, in which the comedians go on stage and they basically act as therapists to the audience. They ask, hey, what's going on with you? And then you as an audience member can say, hey, I got a problem with my roommate. And then some, degenerate comedian will try to help you out with that. It's a lot of fun. So, can follow that.
Insane. I love
it's
that.
Super fun.
If you ever need a Jewish looking comedian.
Oh, we accept all comedians of all races and religions. We'd love to have you. But yeah, go, fucking check out Michigas. It's hella fun.
Amazing.
And yeah, you can find that on my Instagram and stuff.
Is there media you've been enjoying?
There is. Well, there is a tweet that I really liked. So some right-wing fucking grifter wrote something during the Super Bowl. Imagine the outrage if someone performed a white national anthem at the Super Bowl. And then this Twitter user reply at ThoughtSlime wrote, imagine if Dracula ran on stage and did the monster mash, and then imagine it was a graveyard smash. and I was, that's, I love that tweet very much. Yeah. Oh, and listen to Pod Yourself a Gun. We're talking about The Wire. It's a great podcast.
It is one of the best. Let's see. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Cricket Arison tweeted, this meeting could have been an email. Well, guess what? This email could have been a kiss. Which is a good response. I enjoyed just a good old fashioned Dave Itzkoff tweeted the part from the Smoochy episode of The Simpsons where and it's Homer reading his notes and it says, whenever Elon's tweets aren't on screen, the algorithm should be asking, where's Elon's tweets?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that really feels like what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
At this point. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we got the information that we talked about in this episode. Oh no, God, I hope you didn't wake up your baby for that.
Oh, they're just gonna be mad at me.
Anyways, it's where we link off to the information we talked about in this episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, super producer Justin, what's a song that you think people might enjoy?
This is a fantastic song from an all-black psychedelic rock group out of Rockaway Beach near the Queens area in New York. This is a band called Black Rabbit with a track called The Way the Wind Whips. It's got a lot of like Tame Impala vibes to it. Some of their other tracks, they sound very much like the Beatles, but yeah, they're just a young black rock group that I heard of years and years ago when they were a lot more obscure, and they've kind of blown up since then. So yeah, you check them out in the footnotes.
They used to busk Beatles songs like perfectly. Mm-hmm. And then they started releasing original music, and it is amazing. It's very psychedelic and very fun.
Yeah, so you guys can check that out in the footnotes.
The Way the Wind Whips is a fucking great name for a song. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.